Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to Locked On Pistons, your daily Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Duncan Smith. You can follow me at DuncanSmithNBA. You can find my work at PistonPowered.com. You can follow that account also on Twitter at PistonPowered. And we're going to take a look back today. Matt Moore of CBS Sports put together a 16-team bracket seeding the past 16 NBA champions. We have a familiar name checking in at the final and 16th spot. That was the 2003-2004 Detroit Pistons. In this bracket, he's got the Pistons facing the number one seed, the 2015 Golden State Warriors, the first of this dynasty in the making, brewing in Golden State. Now, there are a couple things that go into seeding the Pistons so low. There's the fact that they only won 54 games, certainly not impressive. Moore actually addresses as well. And you're grading 16 champions, somebody's got to come in 15th, 16th. There's an understandable stigma attached with being the worst of the champions. If we just look at their record, which Matt Moore goes into here, we'll start there. He says they won just 54 games, didn't win their own division. Once again, a great team that didn't necessarily care about the regular season. Detroit was never dominant. Those guys just won games time and time again. Their resume is never going to reflect how tough they really were to play. And, you know, that's all that is true, particularly about how tough they were to play and how difficult it can be to reflect that in numbers. But there's a... That really doesn't tell the story. The 2003-2004 Pistons really didn't come into their final dominant form until after Rasheed Wallace joined them at the trade deadline. If we look at the numbers, the net rating, actually, that the Pistons put forth over the entire season, they had the third best net rating in the NBA at plus 6.6 points per 100 possessions. Now, that's for the entire season. However, when we take a look at what those numbers pan out to when Rasheed Wallace joined the Pistons, they jumped up to a 14.7 points per 100 net rating. The Pistons were 14.7 points per 100 possessions better after Rasheed Wallace's arrival. That's a staggering number. It's head and shoulders the best in the NBA. The Spurs were just a touch over 10 points per 100. Their net rating was just a touch over 10 points per 100. So, yeah, the Pistons had a huge edge in net rating over the second-best team for almost the final 30 games of the season. It's a mistake to say that the Pistons simply weren't dominant, and it's also a mistake to say that they were a great team that just coasted through the regular season a la this season's Cleveland Cavaliers. After Rasheed Wallace came to the Pistons, they tore teams apart. They destroyed teams. They went on a massive run to set up for the playoffs. It's not as though this was a team that was a complete product that just coasted through the regular season and then in March decided to flip the switch. It wasn't a matter of flipping the switch. They brought in a vital piece of the puzzle and the final piece of the puzzle to really seal the deal for the Pistons. So it's a small quibble. I think that the Pistons' place as a 16 seed is not entirely unfair. And I also think that it'd be fascinating to see how that 03-04 Pistons team would fare against the 2015 Warriors. I think the Pistons would really meet their match. I think the Warriors would eventually have their own way. But actually, as Moore says in his piece here, I think the Pistons would take this to six games. I think that the Warriors would have to fight and scrap for everything. I think the Warriors would win, but I don't think that this would be a dominant obliteration, and I think Moore is right on track there. So this is your look back in fond nostalgia at the 2003-2004 Pistons. It was a better team even in the regular season than I think a lot of people realize. And once they plugged Rasheed Wallace in, they were utterly dominant. And looking at that total picture, it probably shouldn't be that big of a surprise that they did what they did to the Lakers, because the Pistons, they were no Cinderella story. They might not have been a division champion. They, with Rasheed Wallace, were one of the best teams in the NBA. And as it happens, it takes being one of the best teams in the NBA to be an NBA champion. And the Pistons certainly filled that bill. It might be worth a deeper look down the road as to just how that team did stack up against the other great teams of that time. Of course, if we're looking at the 2004-2005 Pistons team that got back to the finals and came just shy of repeating as NBA champions against the San Antonio Spurs, that was a team that didn't really care about the regular season. That was a team that coasted and more or less did what it took to get into the playoffs, and then that was when they did, in fact, flip the switch. Then they realized that home court advantage was important, and they really put it together for 2005-2006 and put forth significant effort to getting the number one overall seed. And that ended up not meaning anything because the Miami Heat took care of the Pistons in 05-06. And that's actually the next thing that we're going to talk about really quick. Dwayne Wade was asked on Twitter earlier today, what felt better, destroying the Pistons in 2006 or the Celtics in 2011? Dwayne Wade on Twitter responded, beating the Pistons, they were the toughest team I've had to face in my career. And I think that's entirely reasonable. I think the Pistons were just a few breaks and Dwayne Wade turning into a historic figure in 2006 from having a legitimate shot at maybe a three-peat. We'll always be thankful for that one championship, and the Pistons certainly earned it. We've got one other item that we're going to cover really quick here. Vince Ellis from the Detroit Free Press today indicated that the Pistons have some interest in C.J. Miles from the Indiana Pacers. He is going to opt out of the final year of his contract. C.J. Miles is a 6'6 shooting guard. He shot just over 40% from three-point range this season. He shot 41.3%. He took 5.4 attempts per game. He averaged just 10.7 points and 3 rebounds per game, and he did this in 23.4 minutes. The Pistons' biggest single issue last season was an inability to knock down shots. They took a lot of bad mid-range pull-up jumpers, which are a poorly chosen shot any way you cut it, and they really relied on that as a significant portion of their offense. This is a team that needs to be able to shoot the three. Pieces don't really fit if they're not shooting threes. They can't as effectively run the pick and roll because teams can pack the paint if they're not respecting your three-point shooters. And when that happens, you have a situation like the Pistons had this year where there just weren't enough shooters to be able to stretch the floor. That's an important aspect of the pick and roll that the Pistons like to rely on. The pick and roll is not simply Reggie Jackson or KCP handles the ball on the perimeter, Andre Drummond sets the screen, Drummond rolls the basket, and then either Jackson or KCP drives to the basket and lays it in, or lobs it down low for Drummond to slam it home. There are moving parts to the perimeter that are important elements of the pick and roll, and the Pistons were among the worst teams in the NBA at knocking down jump shots on the outside, on the perimeter, off the pick and roll. So the more shooting the Pistons can get, the better. The Pistons are fairly cash-strapped. They have the mid-level exception, which is about $8 million. All of this is going to depend on how things shake out with KCP and with Reggie Bullock and Darren Hilliard in particular. But at this point, Miles is worth a look, and you can't have too much shooting, and the Pistons don't have enough shooting. So we'll see how that breaks down, but keep an eye on that. CJ Miles might be somebody the Pistons are going to target this summer. So that'll be enough for today for the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'd like to encourage you to subscribe and listen to the Locked On Lions podcast. Matt the Diesel Dairy is doing a great job running that podcast over there. And he just did a breakdown of the list of the 10 best NFL play-by-play guys. I'd like to encourage you to check that out. And make sure you're listening to Matt Dairy and the Locked On Lions podcast every day, just as you listen to myself and the Locked On Pistons podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, the best way to do that is, again, to subscribe on iTunes, Audioboom, and to support our sponsor, SeatGeek. If you are interested in going to games, it's going to be a pretty interesting time this coming fall with the Red Wings and the Pistons moving to town. You may find that a lot of people are getting season tickets because of the excitement around the arena at Little Caesars Arena, and tickets might be a little bit harder to find. So your best bet of ensuring that you can get great seats to Pistons and Red Wings and games in particular would be to go to SeatGeek and use the code LOPistons to let them know that you came from us. Those would be the best ways by far to support the podcast. So thank you for listening. I'm Duncan Smith. You can follow me at DuncanSmithNBA. Follow Piston Powered at Piston Powered. And we'll catch you here tomorrow. Thank you for listening.